Well, now, you know, because it's the same shirt, I don't have to throw a shirt away when I wear it. I can get it cleaned and wear it again, can I?
Yes, sir.
And because it happens to be the same jacket, you probably think that this is the same program you were watching if you're watching on satellite and internet and other areas of viewing. But we just joined Channel 56 in Orange County down in KDOC it is. And people often say, KDOC, does that mean anything? One never knows, does one? But this is live right now. Well, how did I know it's live? Well, I just told you it's live. And if you were paying any attention, my hair was a little shorter in that other picture than it is in this picture. Because that was a week ago. My hair grows fast. I'm going to play sometime before 9 o'clock this morning service. And I'm going to play it as it happened. We had 2.5 curtain risers. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
2.5 curtain risers. We raised the curtain, and Melissa sang the song, If That Isn't Love. And I took my stool out and had a little pastoral talk with my congregation about some idiocy that's going on, like I used to do. You know, I've gotten so nice and uptown on Channel 56. Those who want that should watch Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. There we just play the message. You just see the teaching and a couple of songs, and you don't get the behind the scenes. Sunday morning, I addressed a problem. And then I told my congregation I would go back behind the curtain and we'd start the service over again. And the curtain got halfway down. And, you know, this is the part people used to like. They love to get in on problems as long as they're not part of it. A person that's been here long enough to know better, training a brand new person to sit in the director's chair, and he was behind him giving orders, got the call that someone who was really the subject of what I was addressing, you figure that timing, subject of the problem that I was addressing, to give him a chance at mercy, had been moved from the cathedral position because he had demonstrated that wasn't a spot for him, as I think you would conclude from the discussion I had with the congregation. And someone channel surfing, they said, well, I want to hear this. I don't care whether you want to hear it or not. I'm paying for this time. I do what I want to do on this time. As long as it's legal. I'm talking to my congregation. You channel surfers don't support this ministry. I'm talking to my people. I can give you a couple other channels you can go to and listen to that idiocy. This is, you're listening to the man who started reality TV. Yes, you gonna finish? Yeah. I remember Jay Bernstein talking to me in the Dome restaurant at least 20 years ago. He was the star maker in those days. Farrah Fawcett and others. Jay's been to the church many times. He's a friend. I remember the first time I met him, he was carrying that cane that he carried for effect. You know how to work the effects. And he stopped me at the restaurant. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. He said, "Dr. Scott, can I stop and thank you?" He says, "All the rest of us on TV are slaves to the seconds, slaves to time. And I want to thank you because you have pioneered and done things all of us either didn't have the courage or weren't allowed to do. And we've all learned from you as you stayed out on the frontier doing things that we dare not do because the time is too expensive." Some of you will remember when the Orange County Register ran a front page story. Scott returns, and what Scott needs is time. I'm paying for this time. I don't care. I can stop and light my cigar. Not your nickel. And then those that don't want to listen, give them time to find some empty-headed program somewhere. And hear some more about Kobe and his wife. I'll tell you all needs to be said about Kobe and his wife. They ding around once, they'll ding around again. Yes, period. And they love the guy. Well, aren't you a pastor that tries all marriages together? No. I don't like the Old Testament method because they only killed one side. I mean, if the woman was an adultery, you didn't have to worry about living in adultery by marrying someone else. They stoned her to death and she's out of the picture and you go find another one. But the only thing I don't like is if it was the other way, you ought to stone the man too. I'm just telling you, I'm the world's best marriage counselor. They ding around on you, get rid of them, no matter how much it costs. Now you don't have to listen to the other program. Just start your life over anew. You'd still be able to play basketball. I think he raped her? No, I can't believe that. It's impossible. I mean, you know, I got experience with what they throw at celebrities. There's one thing that I know in my life, I wouldn't have to rape anybody. I mean, it's coming at you from all sides. No, I don't think you raped her. Well, he's got himself in a mess. A few minutes pleasure and now this. But I'm telling you husbands, I'm telling you wives, they ding around on you, get rid of them. Now, I'll get around to the three curtains or two and a half curtains, but I'm here tonight to deal with some problems, and I decided to not shield the audience from what went on this morning. I'm going to play it as it happened. Because the person I was addressing, getting around to that dinging again, I like that part. I bet you no channel surfer moved while I was doing that. You want to argue with me? No. I throw the phones open. Anybody calls to argue, they're just going to wad your message up and throw it in the wastebasket. They go get to me. I'm paying for the telephone, too. I don't pay for a telephone for somebody to call up and criticize me. Well, don't you want any constructive criticism? No. No. I'm 74, almost. A week or two. Never got any constructive criticism in my life. So, no, I don't want any. And I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right, and I feel sorry for you if you don't. I love her. I want to give her another chance. If I love him, I want to give him another chance. Let somebody else love him and give him another chance. They had their chance and blew it. For example, among the other things I had to deal with today, I'll save that. It has to do with Dingen. Why don't you change the channel? You ain't going to get this anywhere else. Just change the channel. Now, by the way, where did this girl get the protection of a victim? She ain't a victim until it's proven. I haven't felt sorry for Mike Tyson in my life except once. Anybody that would go to Mike Tyson, any woman that would go to Mike Tyson's room by herself needs to be committed if she doesn't know what's going to happen when she gets there. And I hear these self-righteous, idiot men saying, well, no is no. No matter what stage, and they love to get into this, what stage of the liaison is in, no is no. If I let a serial pedophile in my house as babysitter, am I going to start saying, well, the kid said no? A woman going to Mike Tyson's room alone, a hotel room alone, to carry on intelligent conversation? Give me a break. I've traveled the world. When I was married previously, Billy Graham's not the only person that would not get in an elevator alone with a woman. I wouldn't meet their eye. I've checked into hotels around the world during those days. I remember one, the Grand Hotel in Taipei. When they couldn't push the girls off on me in the pictures, and I'm shutting the door and shoving them out of the door, they're pounding on the door and showing me pictures of boys. They figured that must be my problem. And if I had known, I might not get out of the country. There'd have been some toothless Orientals. People make their own bed, pun intended. We haven't got a rapist dragging somebody into an alley. We haven't got a home invasion. And then self-righteous newspaper writers that say, we have a policy at our newspaper not to name the victim of a rape charge. But these two newspapers have named the name. Or this website is carrying the name. Oh, I will not pick up a weapon and go to war in a tragic choice because I'm a conscientious objector. I'll just make the guns. I can't stand hypocrisy. I put it right up there with raping. Now, in case you think I forgot, the very subject of my pastoral speech this morning, In Mercy, is moved to another location at King's House 1 with another person there to do the switchover from the microwave that goes from this studio to the uplink at King's House 1 so that it switches from this microwave to the microwave that comes from the cathedral to carry the service live. And the first 12 minutes, they didn't make a switchover. That's the best story I've gotten so far. And the excuse, you know I like explanations and excuses a lot, don't you? Well, I haven't been here for weeks, which is a lie. I was there last week. And since I was here, they changed the sequence. And that's why I couldn't figure out how to make the switchover. And I'm sure, since he's been there since 8:30 in the morning, and it's now 11 o'clock, he couldn't find that out before 11 o'clock, if that were true. Again, give me a break. Nothing makes me more angry than insulting my intelligence with your self-preserving lies and excuses. I didn't have to have the crisis in front of the world. I finished my address to the congregation, closed the curtain, started over with enthusiasm in the building, and had to lower the curtain because this director that should know better decided to make a cameraman run and interrupt me as the curtain's going down to tell me, and what's worse, to tell me in tones that I can't stand people that mumble. I don't know what he's trying to say to me. Thanks to my wife's ears, we were able to figure out he's saying we didn't have 12 and a half minutes or something like that. And I have to raise the curtain again, knowing that I'm going to deal with this kind of crisis, not knowing what it is really he's telling me. Have we lost the ability to record the program? That might possibly be an exception, but I doubt it. How many in this room have heard me say when my mother and dad was alive, when that sacred service starts, if my mother or my dad dies, you don't come to the platform to interrupt me? Well, it looks like almost every hand in here. And there was no chance for the people that have access to me to come in between because they're using the headset to do a hotline message to the poor guy on the camera and ordering him to tell me. I think I said a few weeks ago when a temporarily stupid or dim-witted attorney interrupted me when I was preaching, and when we had a crisis with ushers, you got a problem, you come to my wife, she knows when to interrupt me. Did I say that or not?
Yes, sir.
How many heard that? Everybody in here is holding their hand up now. If they're standing out there in the hall, get them in here so I can address them too. They may take stupid pills one of these days. You're playing the bass fiddle. What the hell are you showing up here at 7:24? You get in here by 7 o'clock from now on.
Yes, sir.
You're an example setter, not a straggler.
Yes, sir.
You're on security, Rick. What in the hell are you getting in here at 7:24? You get your ass here before 7. Best of you learn with these derelicts.
Yes, sir.
You're getting too casual about the work of the Lord. I don't think any of you wouldn't be eating if you treated your jobs like this. You have a red face, Rick. Don't look down. You look at me. You're an ex-cop. You cops don't like to take orders. And your attitude sucks. I ain't hearing anything, and you're about out the door, Rick.
Yes, sir.
I didn't hear you.
Yes, sir.
Don't push me, Rick. I've been dealing with you for too many years.
No, sir.
You kiss the paddle and you come up smiling, or you get your ass out of here. Just in case you think because my wife is the administrative pastor and doing most of the work that I've changed, the Let this be an object lesson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You are the idiot that tried to give marital advice. You keep your mouth shut, and you march and keep your mouth shut, Rick.
Yes, sir.
I find out you're trying to be Mr. Sympathy and helping people around. You're out of here for that, too. I'm tired of it. I got my laser beam. My laser beam is on you, Rick, and you're going to be watched for the next few weeks, and you better get your act together. Just seems like, isn't it ironic that the man I gave mercy to is the man who messes up the service this morning? And the story I'm about to tell, you're part of the story. And you come straggling in here late. I just dealt with one of the new guys, whining sideways to another new guy about the drive killing him, driving from some place way up in the canyon country. Well, he knew how far it was when he asked for the job. And the CD-ROMs on Romans, it'd do him good to listen for an hour and a half as he sits in traffic. Whining sideways to a new guy. The drive is killing me. I just told him, take a look at what he's got between his legs. And tell his wife he'll move closer to his job, not hers, or she can pack up and move. To more marital advice. Huh. I love my wife to lay down my life for her in a New York minute. But she better not even think about interfering with what I do for God. And she knows that. And if she had a microphone, she'd shout out, "Yes, I agree." I don't know how I've attracted so many non-men. This used to be a man's church. So I had to fire this guy publicly because a dim-wit, stupid-pilled time in the truck decides he can interrupt my service. When have you ever seen me when I've studied for a subject, forget the name of someone as prominent as the Brian Walton, that did the London Polyglot. I had to preach in such a rage. I have to listen to my message this morning to see how many wrong things I did with the grammar. Trying to mix the grammar, the syntax, and the morphology of five different languages on the board. Not that I can't recover from about anything that happens, that the director would decide he's going to interrupt my message when I'm on the platform because the curtain part of it was all part of my orchestration of the program. To tell me that we lost 12 and a half minutes. Couldn't you handle this a little differently? Well, yeah. Let it be the wrong way. I'm trying to build a new staff, and everybody learns something, and they aren't learning very fast, and I'm not going to be as patient as I was with the old staff. And then I find this same director knew sometime last week, certainly before last night, that one of the newer converts in the church, a man, had called saying his wife was dinging around with one of my cameramen. Now, I don't police your morals. I don't care if you copulate with a goat. But not in my house. You cameramen may think that what you have between your legs gets the attention of some of these silly women. It's the position you have. And when you have as much thrown at you as has been thrown at me in my 73, almost 74 years, you'll understand all women have the same parts. And they all get old and tiresome. I don't want to look at one situation where I had the woman apologize, but I'm telling you, that woman, I'm old-fashioned. With enough streetcars coming around the bend, you don't have to play with another man's property. Or vice versa. What, don't you counsel in your church? No. I don't cater to idiots. Married women are off limits. Married men are off limits. And my staff's off limits on the job. Not discussable. It ain't a moral thing with me. You're not going to be in-house copulating. We got one guy that's still working here by the skin of his teeth. He got fired because he came here with all great expectations, and then he tells me, ask a request for a day off. Told you I'd get back to the dinging. I hate talking about it, tell you the truth. I'd rather do it with a person I'm entitled to do it with. You still do that? Are you nuts? I'm like our president. I only use this cigar to smoke. There's no way Bill Clinton could give me a cigar. I wouldn't put a fireplace poker where he put it. I have taste. If I have nothing else, I have taste. Aren't you surfer channels ever gone, or channel surfer ever going to leave? Her poor husband is calling. Don't you counsel? No. I do it right here. Leave the woman. Whatever it costs you, leave her. The cameraman's fired and barred from the church. Anything confusing about what I'm telling you guys?
No, sir. No, sir.
I mean, you can't find a hole somewhere other than this congregation. Get out of here. Well, there's a more delicate way to say that. I haven't used anything that's disapproved of the FCC. I know those seven words. No. I'm telling the husband public what to do. Get rid of her. I'm getting rid of her. She ain't coming to church anymore. But don't you want to save her? She had her chance. Well, I never. Well, I did. Some things are just across the line. And my wife had to confront that cameraman last night. God love her. She said, "You get out of my face and see how fast you can get out of this parking lot." That's not what I'm bringing this up for. The same guy, the director, that interrupted my service this morning with his grand announcement and made a fool and a victim out of the cameraman who told me, knew about this cameraman and still had him down there last night to serve as a cameraman because he thought filling the spot as if I can't function with one camera if there's a good reason for it. We need a cameraman. So bring this whoremonger. Well, I thought you said no law. Well, I'm not talking about righteousness. I'm talking about my rules. I don't tolerate that in the church I pastor. I don't tolerate that. I wouldn't tolerate it if I owned and ran Mustang Ranch. The employees don't ding with the help. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
And to think you can come and serve on my camera when you're having an affair with a married woman, and the poor husband's calling me, well, go find another church that'll counsel you and tell you to somehow hold the marriage together. Do they have kids? I don't know. But anything would be better than being raised in that kind of conflict. I'm living proof. Never too old to find something better. Why are you so silent? Anybody want to get up and debate with me? Now, this woman has a history of some sad affairs. And she cried on your shoulder, Rick. You introduced her to a present husband. He ought to catch you in an alley and beat the crap out of you. You didn't do him any favor. So stop your meddling. I will not tolerate the kind of incestuous evil that goes on in most churches. I'll find you eventually. You're out. There's some things you can't get up, pun intended, and start the right direction again. There are some things unpardonable with Gene Scott. You better understand, if a stupid broad can't find a man without your help, don't start a dating introduction society in my church.
Yes, sir.
Just march and keep your mouth shut.
Yes, sir.
And then I find that the same guy that brought this cameraman to fill the hole, pun intended, who thought filling the hole was more important than protecting my standards. And let me tell you, this is Gene Scott's no-mu. It won't make you righteous, it'll just keep you from getting thrown out. If you keep yourself from getting thrown out, the word taught might produce enough faith that God will then do the righteousing of you.
Yes, sir.
I'm just running the classroom. If you want to go to a church that you can set the rules, don't come to 933 South Broadway. I'm the rule maker there. And I preach God's law of faith, which I haven't yet gotten to the definition in its fullness of. And I don't want anybody to get the attitude that I think not being in the cameraman makes you more righteous. No, it just keeps you out of trouble with me. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You have nothing to do with righteousness. Because if God were righteous in you, I wouldn't even have to tell you about the rule. And it's pretty presumptuous to get involved in making introductions, because marriages are supposed to happen because that which God hath put together, let no man put asunder. Before people get married, I need to say, let not man put it together. God knows how to find companions. Look at me. I told you I hate pheromones of the devil. I spent 45 years with bitches because God didn't put it together. I determined this last time God had put it together. And I made sure he had enough choices he wouldn't miss. The same guy who interrupted my service, the same guy who decided he had to fill the hole with that cameraman, that whoremonger, came up with the idea, since this morning service, to edit out another mistake they made. Do that for me. Because when the curtain went up the first time, they had the opening. Dr. Gene Scott presents Sunday at the Cathedral. And when the curtain went up the second time and had to put it down again, when they raised it one, either the second or third time, I haven't looked yet, they put the wrong card in. Instead of saying, Dr. Gene Scott presents Sunday at the Cathedral, they put the closing card in, you've been listening to Dr. Gene Scott Rumbaugh. Now, that was ingrained on the tape. And this same guy, who you'd think would quit thinking after the two misses of Saturday night and this morning, came up with the idea they had to edit that out. And so I come here tonight having made the decision to play it as it happened and play off of it, if you will, to discover that this guy recommended and two others, as they spread the fingerprints, spent this afternoon while I was paying them to edit their mistake out. Now, as I addressed the director today, I said, your problem is the spirit of Saul. You don't have a sense of the sacred, because very few churches does God speak through the minister. I do my homework, that's obvious. But the other voice kicks in. If not humanly possible for me with the time I have to do and hold together all that I hold in my mind each Sunday. And you interrupt me, it's like this morning, I have to listen to know what I did. I'm scared to listen for fear I'll see the mistakes that will cringe me. There's no sense in using these languages if I don't use them to point out those closest to the earliest New Testament documents had words in their language that could put a nuance on it that can lead us to the conclusion of what Paul, and not just one little nuance doesn't move me, where the majority are saying this is what, in that frame of reference, the reported meaning of the word needs. In English, we have to say usually, and that's why the King James tried. They put the definite article in. They didn't say a law. They said the law. And they put it in to distinguish it from just law in general. Paul used nomu in the context. The context that let us know he was talking about Torah in its broadest meaning. Sacred law of rules of behavior. Works law. But he doesn't make that clear in the Greek, and the English doesn't make it clear. And I have to work through the nuances of grammar and meanings of words to add the weight before I could walk right out there and tell you, this is what the law means. I could walk right out there and tell you, this is what these original languages say. I'm showing enough respect to my audience to lay it down until, even though you do not understand the languages, as you hear it, you can say, this is pretty obvious to me that it's a religious law divinely ordained or claimed to be such that calls upon works. And that's all that he is saying. The new righteousness is without any of that. I could just say it like I just said it now. But I'm laying down tapes that will play till Jesus comes. And I'm laying it down until the scholars, anywhere except for a presupposed viewpoint that they don't want to accept the truth of miraculous change of life as a gift of God in the paradox of the faith law, they don't want to accept it. Unless they're prepared to come at me with a working knowledge of 15 languages, just stay off of my street. And I'm respecting you enough to lay it down. And somebody interrupts me to tell me that we lost 12 and a half minutes while I was giving a pastoral talk. What can I do about it from the platform? Nothing except what I did. And then they edit it out. So my wife has to work while I'm talking now to make sure and check we can find a tape somewhere that we can play about 20 minutes to 9 as we go into the service. That plays it exactly as it happened as I lay this introduction down. People want to listen to me just teach. Tune in Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 every night on 56. Or tune into the internet, the shortwave, or the satellites, round the clock, and get the programming off the internet and pick the subject you want to listen to. I am doing what's never been done in the history of organizations, cleaning house in this organization, and getting people that will come here and quit lying to me. I'm honest and I tell you, I don't look at the bottom line. Getting the job done is not as important as the way you do it. The work is not as important as the attitude. And you're on a paid scholarship to develop Christian character. That the work is done is a byproduct, like students working in a university. You have a working scholarship when you come here to develop Christian character, to learn how to do things God's way, not to show off your skills and knock home runs for Jesus. And come in here with some thought that you're hired because of your talent. We train you the talent. We train you the skills. We take the lumps of working with people to where I had to actually stop in the service today when I fired this guy to send somebody that knew how to sit there and watch the transmitter. What I don't have to put up with, if I put up with all the rest of that, is an attitude of excuse-making, defensivism, and doing it your way. I said to this person, you've got a problem. You have no sensitivity to the sacred. You have no sense for the sacred. That you would interrupt me on the platform is beyond comprehension. That you would even think about telling a cameraman to interrupt me once that service starts, no matter how many times I take the curtain up and down. Oh, yes, sir, he said. And then he comes here right after I have that telephone conversation with him and decides he can interfere with the sacred by touching the product of my service without written permission and editing it. You may say, well, that's a little thing. It's a little foxes that fall of vine, is what my Lord and Master said. It's an attitude. Once that tape is cut, it's sacred. And nobody better work here that ever forgets that.
Yes, sir.
Now that I've made all of you love me so much, and I'm done talking about dinging, you channel surfers can go elsewhere, because I want to open the phone for reservations to this church that believes in doing it God's way. And we got about 12 minutes until the next hour. And I want to teach a few minutes before I take you into the raw, unedited service of the morning. Get on the telephone. I really can't leave this subject yet. I'll see how quickly people want to stop phoning while I talk. I never finished about the husband who called about his wife that he claims is having an affair with a cameraman. Cameraman's gone and banned. The woman's gone and banned. Well, what if she's innocent? Oh, don't give me that. Don't put yourself in a compromising position. Shun the very appearance of evil. Don't even be on the same side of a room with the cameraman. No, don't underestimate my intelligence. But the husband's banned too. Well, why is he banned? He's the innocent victim. Oh, baloney. When he calls me and tells me he's thrown her out in the street and proves that California, which has a no-cause divorce, when he's rid of that woman, he can reapply. I want men in my church. Not stupid men. It reminds me of the church that had some woman that was given large offerings. And the pastor asked the woman, how can you afford to give offerings like this? My husband's a veterinarian. Well, he must be a very successful veterinarian to make that money. Yeah, he has 3 cat houses in Nevada. Stupidity I don't like. There ain't going to be any stupid people in heaven. You ain't getting to heaven if you don't have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit. Which can only come upon you through faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. And when you're faithing, you have the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of God, you have the mind of Christ, and he's not stupid. Ergo, no stupid people in heaven. No, the husband is banned too. Because he whined instead of kicking her out. Don't bother me with those kinds of things. Too many streetcars, I repeat, coming around the bend to live with a woman that's unfaithful. The same is true to you women living with an abusive husband. I'm the only pastor in the world who says a good divorce is better than a bad marriage. I'm giving you all this Christian baloney. Well, that's what it is. I repeat, even under law, if your wife fooled around with you in the Old Testament, she's dead under a pile of stones, under a pile of rocks. That's sort of an interesting pun, too. Take you a while to get that one. No, he can't come to church. call whining under the guise he doesn't want to cause any problems for Dr. Scott. Well, why didn't he throw his wife out and call and say, I threw my wife out before he decided to tell me about the problem? Boy, you maybe are going to have a lot of divorces in your church in the days to come. Well, I'll go back to the guy that came in here and said he wanted a day off. Thought I forgot, didn't you? What do you want a day off for? Well, I'm getting married. Well, who are you marrying? And he told me. I mean, a professional banger. I mean, she had hit everybody on my staff. Some of them I couldn't figure out. Some of the people on my staff that a woman would have an affair with that one. I mean, I had a female dog that wouldn't even look at that one. I mean, she'd gone through them all, and he's marrying her. I said, it's nice that you're telling me that you want to be off to go get married. And she had pled for mercy repeatedly and was being given a part-time job again, having repented of her wayward ways. I said, I can't stop pheromones. I've told you they're of the devil, but I can't stop them. But you owed me, since you know my rules, I don't hire couples, because you lose one, you lose them both. You owed me telling you when the fire of pheromones first started flaming. Then I'm fair. I call you both in. You both work for me. Which one of you want to go? I can't stop the pheromones if the relationship's clean. And maybe the worst of the dingers of this world can start over. But tell me you're violating my rules, and then I'll give you a choice. Does she go or you go? Or maybe I'll decide you can stay, but she has to go. But don't drop that bomb on me and expect that you can violate my rules and say, sorry, sir, and then a little later, a third party pops out. Now you'll get that one in the afternoon, too. Go find a church with a pastor that doesn't know how the world rolls. Pun intended. Now they're divorced. I handle things directly. I remember sitting at Faith Center. I'm fence getting ready to go after a service. And I saw a big old bruiser of a guy. He was a teacher in town, and I liked him. And he's holding one guy with a collar and pounding him with his fist, and the guy breaks loose and runs, and thank God the gate was open, and this guy's chasing him all the way down the street. And then he comes back over to my car and he says, Pastor, I'm sorry. I said, listen to me. Because he's saying, our divorce is not final, and she's bringing that man here and in essence, rubbing him in my face. I said, sir, if you had told me this, and gone out there on the street outside of the church premises, I'd have held your coat while you worked him over. But you ever do something like this again inside this church, either you or me are going down. Not tolerated. I remember several years ago, faithful couple still here. And they'd come to church, and there was a man she was always cornered with somewhere. I said, this is not the mating game. All of you get out of here or clean up your act. This church exists to teach God's Word. And this, I grew up in fundamentalism where the only thing that they really could do with their rules was sneak around and ding. That's about the only thing the fundamentalists do. I mean, I learned that when I was a preacher's kid, man. go to the Nazarene church, the perfectionist churches, and the easiest role in town was the pastor's daughter. I know all of this. I drove an ice truck. But I drove it. But I learned then, don't coach them when they... Nature is nature, pheromones, pheromones. Human nature is human nature. Lust of the flesh is lust of the flesh. Just do it outside this church. You come in this church to listen to me teach. And if you've got some other purpose, get out of here today.
Yes, sir.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Go on telephone. Now, I'm going to play one more song. And then I'm going to do some teaching. Because of the pastoral speech and the teaching, there hasn't been that much time on the telephones. And the reservations always suffer for next Sunday at the cathedral. And Sunday the 10th is the Sunday we designate before the 14th, which is the date of my birthday, a special service of celebration on August 10th. I hope you'll plan to be there. There are buses that come, particularly from out Hemet Way and Riverside County and down in Orange County. You can call the Voices of Faith and they'll tell you the schedules and where they pick up on Sunday morning to bring you to the cathedral. I want the reservations for Sunday, but only one more song and I'm going to do some teaching. You know, a lot of you people have still not figured out. You can spend about $500, give or take a little, and have a KU band dish, our own direct TV. You have to get a dish, one of the 1 meter dishes, and no zoning restrictions. Anywhere you are, you can use them. Unlike the big dishes, digital reception. You get the numbers from the Voices of Faith. Call any satellite installation company and give them the numbers that you can get from the Voices of Faith. And I always mess up on that one number. It's called what?
Symbol rate.
Symbol rate. They'll give you where the satellite is, Telstar 6. And the key number is what's called the symbol rate, which lets them program the receiver to pick up the band on the digital satellite that we have 24 hours a day. And it's feeding into your house. They install it. I got one installed at my house that came out and did it in one day. They put it up. I can punch the little clicker and KU band comes up. Here Costa Mesa says, thank you, Dr. Scott, for the KU band. I converted my dish last week and the picture and sound are just awesome. Thanks so much for the teaching. I got my pass today, but I wanted to read it because of the conversion to the dish. I'm surprised we don't have 3,000 people already getting the KU band dish. It solves the problem. You can watch us 24 hours a day. I got a little remote on my TV, and I punch a button, and a little bar comes up, and I can go to click over to whether I'm going to use the VCR or whether I'm going to use, and it says, Dish Network. Well, I go to that, and that's not me. The KU band. GS. I go there, and there I come. 24 hours a day. Less than, I think it was $550. Less than $550. I have the KU band dish in addition to the C band, the big one, that many of you can't get because of where you live. There's zoning restrictions, none on the KU band, 1 meter dish or less. Now, I said I was going to start teaching, so everybody sit down. Now, we have some ads that we've been going to place on Channel 56, and I want to sort of punch the button to get that done. I want those ads playing on 56. Cal Brack's going to give us the time to play the ads. One of them, I'm laughing about cows. So when I get done teaching, I want you to play. play one song, but then the next time I call or I stop teaching, I want that ad to play. They need to laugh a little today. They've done everything else. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, when I teach, the teaching I'm doing in Romans needs to program your brain. When I read these Old Testament passages and God's talking about them keeping His commandments, you know that that was when the contract between God and this people, the covenant, would produce only one kind of righteousness. Tzedekah, which is keeping covenant. Now His covenant with them was the Old Testament law. This is Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Torah. If you restrict the Torah just to the first five books, and righteousness was guaranteed by God if they kept His covenants. But as you will see, even under the old law, there was anticipated the day, as Jeremiah put it, when God would write His law in their inward parts, when God Himself would inhabit us with an indwelling of His Spirit that would produce the fruit of righteousness without me doing anything to produce that righteousness. That was God's doing. But to teach them, and for the schooling, and for their purpose as a revelatory oracle, when we read these Old Testament passages, they had their deal with God. But now we have our deal with God, the law of faith. But in those days, you were guaranteed life if you kept the commitment, or even anticipating that it was a schoolmaster and that they couldn't. He provided the means of grace and the Day of Atonement and the sacrifices and the ashes and blood of the heifer, and on we can go, and the types of the Old Testament that anticipated the day that this old law would be swallowed up, made fulfilled, incarnate in Christ. And the handwriting of ordinances that can only condemn would be nailed to a tree. And God would be free to relate to us on a new covenant, to which those sacrifices were but anticipatory types, whereby, for faith, He could give us righteousness. But that's a Sunday morning subject. But in anticipation, if this were being written today, it would say to see if you will trust Him, instead of to see if you will keep the commandments. You understand?
Yes,
sir. So just sort of edit that as I read it, because what God wants, as the psalm says, you got to serve somebody. You may think you're free, but you're either going to serve God or you're the servant of the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is no neutral zone. There's a measure of freedom in every act of man, which enables us to corrupt everything. That freedom inevitably focuses on self and self-preservation. And to use the word again, as Paul will in another context, the law of love is not within our capacity. Jesus summed up all the law. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and body, your neighbors, yourself. Nobody can do that. Only God can do that. And that's a standard tougher than the Ten Commandments. And as Paul will later say, this law was designed to teach us the impossibility of picking ourselves up and righteousing ourselves. But we can trust. And for trust God, since I've been on this kind of subject, I could probably preach a sermon on Viagra. Never used it. Thanks be to God. But there are some people, I guess, who need it. Our former presidential candidate makes no bones about needing it. God's got me on a roll today. No pun intended there. But things that old men are incapable of doing. Some of them are like the old man that's talking to another old man, and some pretty girl walked by, and one of them says to the other one, "You know, I used to be moved by something like that." And the other one says, "Yeah, I did too, but you know what bothers me is I've forgotten what I was moved for." Now, men in that condition, they tell me, can take Viagra, and suddenly, they're a new man in Viagra. Now, I don't just talk about this to be on the edge. We see cells change, holding radioactive material, and an invisible change occurs. Negative. Viagra becomes an illustration of putting something in you that makes the impossible possible. When you believe in the resurrection and when you stop this mystical, super spiritual insanity of spirituality and understand that the Creator of the universe burst into the dead body of our Lord Jesus Christ and immortalized him in a moment, and that spirit raised that dead body to life, and molecules, he formed them with his word. He could displace the molecules and go through that rock in a closed door. We're talking realism. We're not talking about some mystical, spiritual, mythological thing. If you don't believe in the resurrection, why are you a Christian? If you believe in the resurrection, you can believe that the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead can move into you and with a measure less than what hit his dead body, otherwise you'd be immortalized. A new life comes and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus and you become a dual person. And if that presence is maintained in you, it will bring forth fruit and displace your old nature and will be God himself manifesting through you. Spirituality is the expressions of the Spirit, God being himself, having placed a part of himself in you as a gift because of your faith, working through you. My business is to teach you the faith. Once you're faithing, if you maintain it, God will do the righteousing. But the devil is an angel of light, I said to my wife today. The devil really doesn't want this message I'm preaching without law. Without Nomu. He doesn't want it preached because he has crippled the church and kept it captive through these centuries, saying, "Okay, I'll give you this, a la James. You don't have to keep it all, but you've got to keep this much." No, you don't have to keep any of it. It's dead, nailed to the tree. Quit resurrecting it. Period. When I go into these chapters, substitute. For commandments, keeping the commandments, keeping the faith. Go ahead and write it, because all these things were written for our example. Their wilderness trek. This is the song of Moses. "And thou shalt remember," verse 2, "all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Well, you don't have to tell me what God was leading them for. He was taking them to the promised land. No. "Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Well, he's going to make a spiritual giant out of me. He's going to make me move my business of attaining and serving self and pride. He's going to put a halo around it, and I can do the same business on the other side of the street. He led me these 40 years to teach me how to take my talent and all of my being and all of my brains and everything that I had and use it for Him. Well, maybe eventually, remade, reworked, displaced, moved aside, room made for a new creature. No, that's not where he starts. And no matter how many times I preach this, I tell you, I don't interfere with your life. Everything you do is the Lord's work. Husband, wife, parent. Businessman, whether it's your own business or working for someone else. And though he expected the Lord to come so soon that he didn't want to engage in slave revolts, but the message of Philemon is, bring honor to God in whatever your position is. Amazing. We have fewer services than anybody. Most churches, they got all these services going every night of the week. All I say is you need to recognize you're not your own. You're bought with a price. In that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Why should you, stupid? It's going to take you to hell. But unto Him who died for them and rose again. I'm not sure I can trust God. I mean, He died for me, but, you know, I got to look out for myself. You're lucky because God, who bought you, paid for you, owns you 100% with His own blood of His priceless Son, wants to bless you with the 90% He leaves in your hands. But He wants you to acknowledge His ownership. There's 178 hours in a week last time I checked. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's 168, but somewhere up there. 10% of it. Not just your money, 10% of your time belongs to God in joint activities, which is why the church exists, of people that belong to the Lord. There's some things God wants done can't be done by single individuals. And if this is where you eat and where you get your food, and if this is where you've decided to follow me as I follow Christ, you owe 10% of your time to this ministry. And not doing what you want to do, doing what I tell you to do. It ain't complicated. And quit rationalizing your self-centered ways. You got 90% to kick up your heels and do what you want. And He'll bless you. So, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to make you do what you want to do for Him. As long as you do it for Him, it's okay. As long as you can feel good about it, I'm serving the Lord my way. As long as you can sort of take delight in putting the pastor in a position where he needs me. Most of my ex-employees remind me of a rejected woman sitting out there waiting for me and the church to suffer the loss of them. Well, oh, what a blessing. That without knowing them, they were that evil, they're gone. I nailed a man today who's cohabitating with another ex-employee that's never, ever apologized for the way he left. I got a lot of forgiveness. But not compromise. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee. He gave me the spot where I can show off my talent. That's why He led me. Not what my Bible says. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. I watch them come here when I hire them, even the new people that have come. All it takes is for them to mess up once and get in trouble. And then it's mope around, feel sorry for themselves. I'm exposed now. I'm not as perfect as I wanted them to think I was. And in spite of all my honesty in saying this is a working scholarship in spiritual development, they can't take it when they get corrected. How do you become humble? You've heard me preach this. Come on. How do you become humble? Humble is the state. The means of becoming humble is being humiliated. Now, I want to be humble without the humiliation. Well, you think you got a monopoly on that? Thou shalt remember, that's what I'd suggest my old staff. Who failed? I don't have to demonstrate my forgiving ability. I just am intolerant and will not allow. I think I'm more fair and more merciful and more generous, and sorry to have to say it to you, more right most of the time. But I simply don't allow you to try to figure the equity in the situation. Well, you didn't recognize the good that I did, and I'm not as bad as you're making me think I am. Here you are. And this is good as a mile. I can forgive anybody almost anything. I named a couple I couldn't. As long as you quit equivocating and turn your 2% of harm into 100%. Why don't you do the same, Pastor? How do you know I don't? The difference is, you're not anointed by God to perfect me. It's between me and God. And you'll know it when that other voice stops speaking on the platform. And I'm sorry, a lot of people have been working for me that are long gone, and a lot of members of this church are here and should be long gone, because you haven't grown an inch in the last 10 years. Indeed, you've gotten more self-centered and worse. You've got to admit, even in the teaching, I've continued to move ahead. I'm not ashamed of anything I preached when I came here 29 years ago. It's not easy at 73 to gain a working knowledge of 4 or 5 languages in 1 year. And I haven't stopped. I told you a few years ago I was learning 1 a year. God's quickened my brain. Doesn't take that long. I don't have to speak it. Just have to know the grammar, know how to read it. Know how to decipher it and pull it apart. That's called a working knowledge of a language. I don't know very many people that speak classical languages. Who can they talk to? They're dead languages. Go out to the graveyard, go to the pyramid and talk Coptic. I want to know what's written down in those ancient manuscripts. You got to admit, I kept growing. I've even grown my ability to find women. I mean, you've got to admit, the one I have now is better than anything you ever heard about that's been around my life. I mean, somebody's been guiding me. Yes, maybe you have a pastor that the Lord disciplines and works with. That's the plan He laid down. My job is to put you on the track, and if you can't respect me enough to respond to it and quit arguing and making excuses for yourself and take the humiliation that's necessary to make you humble, then get out of here.
Yes, sir.
I think that's clear enough. Yes, go to the next thing. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. And to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest, put it in the modern context, become a faither or not. You know, I remove the necessity of faithing for survival when you go to work for me. Next thing I know, every move they make is out of fear and self-preservation instead of faith. Faith is risk and 90% courage. And people only have to work for me, it seems, a few weeks before all faith is gone, and what the Scripture clearly says, God's not the author of fear, motivates their every move. There are no way that faith caused them to interrupt my message today. It was fear. Mindless fear that I got it right now, so I gotta get rid of it. I gotta take my dump right now, even while he's preaching. It ain't hard, folks. I'm not complicated. I'm easy. I'm not interested in the bottom line. I'm not interested in production. I'm not running this church like an executive that must squeeze the work out of you. I'm working on attitude. I want faith. Running to the voice of the sayer to prove thee to know what was in thine heart. And that's about what happens when you get in this church, and what's in your heart's pretty corrupt and self-serving. And like a squealing pig, all you do is try to fool yourself, God, and me, and everyone else that you're not as bad as you are. Yes, you are. But God loves you because of what you can be. And you can't be that without faith that lays yourself open to be humbled, and to prove what's in your heart. He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger. God's easier today. Just makes you drive an hour and a half because you haven't got the gonads to tell your wife you're moving. Well, I ain't moving. I had a guy apply for work this last week. We're interviewing people and filming it. And he canceled his interview. Because he said his wife was against him working for me. Well, you know, at least I'd make a man out of him. She'd have a better husband. I don't know what she wants, really. I want to know. And she up and left him because he's going to go interview for a job. And she has all the money and the car, and she left, and he don't have transportation to come to the interview. I said, call that jerk and tell him to go, I don't even think Viagra would help. I doubt seriously a transplant would help. Just go find some, it's only 8:30, gonads. Go find some gonads. And ask her where he can mail her panties in case she left them behind. And get the divorce before you even think about coming here, because I don't want some dumb broad naming me in her divorce papers. Just get rid of her and come with a clean slate. And whether you come to work for me or not, get rid of that. Better go out and lay in a gopher hole. The Spirit's really on me today, I can tell you that. Can I hear an amen? To prove what was in your heart, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. What do you think manna is? It's a type of the Word. And he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Talked to somebody today, I loved as a son. Oh, I've always been there when he's down. But you let him start feeling his oats, he thinks he can write the terms of the relationship. Ain't the way you relate to me. I'm a conveyor of the word. And when somebody who's trying to get their life together that I've helped get it together puts a priority and argues some angel of light argument over respect for God's word, don't expect to negotiate a compromise with me. Everybody knows going out the gate where my priority is. So don't seek to bring me down to your level with clever rationales. It's always amazing how I'm there when people are down, but when they begin to abound, you know, it's like sons that think, well, me and Dad are going to negotiate on an equal plane. No. Just like your natural father, I'm your spiritual father till I die. And don't think you're ever going to negotiate on an equal basis with me. Because I'm dealing with right as defined by the word, and that's beyond argument. So don't give me your goddamn selfish arguments, because that's what they are, goddamned. And don't soft soap me. And don't change the facts of a relationship and expect me to be omniscient. And when I react because the facts have changed and you didn't tell me, you're the one with hat in hand, they better be begging another chance. Because I ain't coming to you. I'm supposed to represent the way God deals with people. He's not on trial. And idiot mankind, including these, thought that they had a right to put God on trial and make Him prove Himself in every encounter. He led you to humble you and to prove you and make you know that the Word of God that puts you on the path of faith is more important than all those other things you've been hanging on to as so dear. And with that, get back on the telephone. Get back. I never thought a bunch of cows would make me. I want to know. That's funny. That ad's funny.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I had 20 or 30 minutes, I would play. I remember I kept saying, what was it that... Cows. Why am I laughing about cows? And then I played. I had them search out of the archives and play that festival. Voice of Faith remembered it better than I did. It was funny. But I haven't got time to play what was making me laugh. So you're going to have to watch next Sunday. Maybe I'll be able to play it next Sunday. It was funny, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Couldn't figure out why was I laughing about cows. And when I heard why, it was funny. Really funny. This is Pastor... He gives me his name in Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm so glad you didn't edit these things out. I learned almost as much, maybe more, from these types of lessons than from the regular teaching. And I feel emboldened to do what I have to do with my own congregation. I wish you all the best. You're going to need it too. And there's Palmdale, Pastor. We'll all do well to take lessons from your dog. We should all just follow you around obediently. This is one pup that's happy following my pastor if you follow Christ. And San Bernardino, how can I get a VHF copy of this message? He's like a university teaching. This is somebody, not a king's house. I don't know, first time watcher maybe. I want a copy of this. He's really pissed off at those guys. He said it. I didn't say it. Where is the church located? Between 9th and Olympic on Broadway in the heart of downtown. And I'm going to take you to the service exactly as it played. The edits they did have been unedited. And exactly as it happened this morning. And I want you making reservations to be there next Sunday to make sure that we have none of this next Sunday.